I know I don't want to hear it, but somebody's bound to say it to you in the next couple days if they haven't already. The end of summer. It's here. It's like right around the corner. Labor Day weekend to me is kind of the unofficial end of summer, right, Ashley?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, people are trying to get in their last minute vacations. Maybe you're enjoying the sunshine where you are. Some places are cooler than others, but if you're going to get some last minute heat, you may be one of those people that tells themselves, I've got a base tan, so I don't really need to do sunblock. Do you tan, Ashley? Do you burn? What's your skin do?
I have lovely Italian skin, so it may turn a little red, but it doesn't usually hurt, and it fades to a very nice tan very quickly. Right. I'm very lucky.
Right. So you sound like one of those people. You're bragging on your base tan right now. You're bragging on a base tan.
Yeah, kind of.
So then you're, and on top of it, you're also saying the other thing that you're not supposed to say, which is, I don't really burn, right? So you're just saying that in there, too. So I would venture to say that when you have the base tan, you feel like you burn even less frequently, correct? You feel
I would like say you're protected. So, yeah.
Scientists say that you're wrong and that you're a silly, silly person and that none of that makes sense. You can still get skin damage. A lot of people would also think, like, I don't need as much protection, right? Mm-hmm. Or I don't have to worry about spotting or anything like that later on because I already have a nice, even base tan. It's not a burn. I'm fine. Dermatologists are poking holes in that. They say, at best, if you have a base tan, quote unquote, which they remind us, which is already sun damage, technically, when you have that, it's like wearing SPF 4 at best. What do you wear for an SPF?
Anything? I do 30 now.
You do?
When I was younger, I would do maybe 8. But now that I'm older and I care a little more, I do 30.
You know what? I remember back in the day, when I was younger, like the oils, I don't think they had any SPF. Right? Like,
no.
I would put on that Tropicana one that was like a...
It wasn't just vegetable oil.
Oh, my gosh. That thing was like... It smelled like a pineapple, and you would just get so dark with this stuff. I don't even think they sell it anymore. I think they may have put that creator in prison.
That's probably true. I wore that when I was down in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Worst burn of my life. Even super puffy under the eyes.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
No, you definitely were not supposed to put that on your face. That I can tell you.
Yeah.
But even the oils now, it's got a certain SPF. They say your base tan is just SPF 4, maybe. It's not enough to keep you from getting an actual sunburn. And then the rest of the standard warnings, you know, too much sun, increasing your risk of skin cancer, brown spots, all that stuff. Got to have at least SPF 30. You guessed it. That's the magic number.
Well, yeah, if you don't want to look like a handbag by the end of the summer, wear at least SPF 30.
I found this crazy when I read this here, is that 1 in 3 Americans will avoid going to the doctor at this point. Doesn't matter about insurance, doesn't matter costs, anything like that. Even if they're not feeling well, 1 in 3 will not go to the doctor because they're somewhat paranoid about it. Ashley is in for Anna over the next couple of days. Producer John is here. When you guys... John, do you go to the doctor? Do you avoid the doctor? Which category do you fall in?
I mean, I think the doctor is great.
Right. I mean, the doctor's there to help you,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I haven't been in about 5 years, but I think he's great.
What? No. What do you
Ashley
mean?
Ashley just pointed at me as soon as I said that.
You don't go for like an annual physical?
I'm the same way, though. That's why I was pointing. I'm like, I haven't been in about 5 years either.
What is your policy on making doctor's appointments and going to the doctor? Is that you just won't go unless something is falling off?
Even then, I'm still a little leery about it.
So you know what happened to me was that I actually lost my PCP, my primary care physician.
Right.
They dropped
me. They move or they drop you.
No,
or whatever.
Yeah. They dropped me. After the pandemic, though, like it was before the pandemic I would go like relatively regularly because before the pandemic I was married and
right.
I had someone forcing me to do it.
To go. Right. You would make your appointments and therefore you had to go.
But since then, I like haven't had a PCP and I keep wanting to get one, but it's always like, well, we can't see you for 6 months. And I'm like, oh, well, come on.
And you got to look it up online and you don't know this person. So I get it. All that gets weird. Yeah. And that's your policy, too. What is your excuse?
I'm just lazy.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't.
You are a mother. You have people. You're a father. Both of you have to live.
My kid goes every 6 months. It's great.
Kid goes.
And when you walk in, does the doctor ever say to you, why don't you just sit down here for a minute? Let me take a look at you. No?
No.
Doctors back in the day, I feel like they used to do that. I have to go today, but I've been putting off this appointment. So I've had this appointment. I've had to reschedule it twice so far already because the doctor ordered me to get some tests in between the last appointment and this one. And I still haven't done that. I haven't. And it's it's the first time in my life that I'm like, I don't want to go take the test because I don't want the results.
Oh, sounds like it's going to be the Josh show soon. But, oh, boy. Oh, my.
Right. Like, I'm just going to drop dead. we'll probably both go the same day because you won't go to the doctor. But I have to go and get a bunch of blood work. So what is your technique when you're getting a shot or blood drawn to be brave?
Oh, you got to look away. But honestly, I mean, needles don't really bug me.
That's not
where my fear of the doctor, like aversion to the doctor, comes from. It's the inconvenience, not the the pain doesn't really bug me.
Ashley,
the pain bugs me.
Ashley, so you're going to get a shot or you're going to have blood drawn. What is your technique?
Well, I'm going to cry like a baby for about 5 minutes and say, I'm not ready. And then, you know, I had the biggest fear of needles.
Grown woman.
I know, but that's what happened. When I got pregnant, I knew that I would have to have blood drawn pretty frequently. So I kind of had to get over that fear, and it forced me to get over the fear.
Yeah.
I still don't like it, but I kind of look away.
Yeah, but then your daughter got here 5 years ago, and now no more? That's it for the rest of your life? You're not going to let them take blood or whatever?
I do, and I won't throw a five-minute fit. It's more of a 30-second one.
I do the thing where I talk rapidly right up until the second they're ready to go, and then I pick a spot on the wall, and then I just stare at it.
Yeah.
And I try and breathe. And I'm looking at a list here, and that's one of them. Distract yourself. Okay. Concentrate, taking slow, deep breaths. Focus intently on something in the room. Cough, which seems weird to me because then they're going to move, right?
Right. Well, you're going to move. Then they got to go back in. Have you ever had to have one who like can't find the vein?
I had
an intern one time. It took 5 attempts.
I mean,
they just kept stabbing.
Interns can do things like file paperwork.
No, my veins point out or they stick out well, so I haven't had that issue.
I'm going today. I'll make an appointment for both of you. It'll be great. It's all I need to know about you. This is a great way for you to get something off your chest. You know, maybe you saw somebody do something or you heard something and immediately you thought to yourself, oh, yeah, that's all the information necessary here. It's easy. Just fill in the blank. 1-800-330-9999. Ashley, that's all I need to know about you.
If you do not pull over for somebody on the side of the road, I should say move over for somebody that's pulled over on the side of the road. That's all I need to know about you.
You know, the whole thing makes me nervous, right? It's the same thing with traffic workers, too. Like, you know, listen, we got 2 miles of cones here. There's not a single person that when you're going through all that doesn't get a little bit lethargic and is paying a little bit less attention. So, guys, don't stand too close to the edge either. I don't trust any of these people. But if you have a car and something's broken down, get your butt off the road. Don't be the one that's like half in the lane.
Right.
You know? Like, get on the grass a little bit here. Everybody's got an SUV nowadays. Well, you can't put that thing up 2 inches of grass. Let's go.
Or you've got the 4'8" mom that's driving the big Suburban.
Oh, my. Like, you know, come on. You can drive that thing anywhere. Austin, that's all I need to know about you.
If you constantly overload your trash bin and do nothing when it blows all over the neighborhood, that's all I need to know about you.
Oh, I got one of those. They don't, to be fair now, they don't really live there at this point full time. They're like renting the place out. But, you know, they would come into town and blow out of town so sporadically. Like the stuff would be full and it'd be out there on like a Monday. And it's not like pickup day till like Thursday. And then, you know, you get a couple storms, it's over. I got one neighbor down the street right now, Ashley. They've had a rollout dumpster in their driveway for seriously, I think it's coming up on 2 years.
Oh, I have a neighbor. It's easily been out there for 6 months. Yeah.
I want to fill it with everything that I have.
Same.
But some reason, you know, because I'm a grown-up now, like if this was my neighborhood 2 houses ago, starter home, you know, the way I was a little bit more street then, I would have thrown everything. There'd be a sofa in there, old television, definitely about 3,000 dog bags. Forget it.
3,000 dog bags.
Yeah, now at this point, like I'm a grown-up. I pay my taxes. You know, people know me in this neighborhood. I got to be nice.
Yeah, I'm the same. I've been tempted to walk over there and say, would you mind if I threw a few things in here, like a couple of tons?
Well, they don't live there at this point. They're just there. The house is empty. They bought another house, but they still own that house.
So we're only up to 500 dog bags.
It's crazy. I mean, I did do it for a few weeks. I was like, I'm throwing them all in there. And then my wife is like, it's going to smell. Mark, that's all I need to know about you.
If you take credit for somebody else's work, that's all I need to know about you.
This is deep-seated, right? Like, you ever have anything happen like this at your job, Ashley?
Oh, for sure.
Somebody walk up and they'd be like, I found the tornado. I found the hurricane, and you're like, no, that's my hurricane.
Yeah, it says Hurricane Ashley. Back down.
No, but you've had people take credit for things at your job or
whatever. Yeah, when I'm building weather graphics, yeah, we'll take credit for it. Absolutely.
Okay, now I'm fascinated. How do you build a weather graphic?
Well, the 8-day doesn't do itself.
Okay, I don't know what that means. Oh, you mean the
like
thing
a 7 or 8 day forecast?
Oh, it doesn't.
No.
It doesn't?
No, we got to make all of those.
Is that true?
Yeah.
So wait a minute. What are you like pulling like little images and stuff? Are those stolen images from online?
Yeah, the little sunshine icons, the rain icons, all the temperatures. Yeah, we do all of that.
You steal that.
I do. I borrow.
I had no idea that that was a graphic that you actually built.
Mm-hmm.
That is fascinating. Look at this. I'm learning something. The home entertainment thing has gotten so big over the last few years. Like, I mean, everybody remembers when surround sound came out and it became a thing. And, you know, you probably remember where, like, when they were trying to do, like, curved televisions.
I have one.
You have a curved TV?
I do.
Did you really, really, really like Avatar? I feel like that's when they came out with that. Like, that's when it happened.
I haven't seen that movie.
No.
It's purely ornamental.
Well, there is a new innovation that is coming to your televisions right now. It's good for home entertainment, and they're going to be shipping them next month, believe it or not. Listen up.
Movie Scent. It's time to take your entertainment experience to the next level. Immerse yourself in your favorite movies, TV shows, and games. Movie Scent releases scents based on sound cues to create an experience like no other.
In some ways, in some circles, this is called Smell-O-Vision. Believe it or not, Smell-O-Vision has been a thing they've been trying to do with movies and television.
Mm-hmm.
Movies really since the 1920s, believe it or not. The inception of non-talkies, like, you know, all ever since film came out. But this is different. This is called Movie Scent. They're going to send it directly to your house. You'll be able to order these in the next month or so. And it's going to work with all television shows. It's going to work with your phone, your TV, cable, anything like that that you can have an HDMI cord to. And it will provide scents to all those. Well, you know what? They'll tell you about it.
Movie Scent comes with fresh cut grass, clean air, ocean, forest, restaurant, and store.
Don't just watch it. Live it. Live it.
Movie Scent.
I asked you, Ashley, to come up with a list of the top three shows that mm-hmm. you think would, you know, benefit from this product here. And the top three that would be the worst to watch with us. Go ahead.
All right. So I'd say I don't want to do anything that's on the Food Network because that's too obvious.
I mean, okay, well, that's on my list. I have Chopped or Is It Cake?
I don't watch
it either. Have you ever seen that Is It Cake? I like that. I think that would smell good. But you don't have that cooking on your list.
I went away from the Food Network.
Okay, what do you have?
So I went with, of course, my favorite show, Duck Dynasty, because they're always making the duck and the fried chicken and the cornbread. You know, I'm like, that must smell amazing. I'm also going to go with, this is going to sound odd, Real Housewives of New Jersey, because they're always making some delicious Italian food in the kitchens.
But imagine how much of that cheap perfume, or even expensive perfume for that matter, that they're wearing. Okay, and your third option?
Third option would be Uncharted with Gordon Ramsay.
Okay. Isn't that food?
It is, but it's not on the Food Network.
Okay, so I have Chopped, Is It Cake, Survivor. All right, now. Survivor may sound like a weird choice.
Explain yourself.
All right, but here it is. Number one, it's on the ocean, okay? So you're going to get, you know, that smelling of salt water from Fiji.
I can't say low tide smells good, though, buddy.
You will smell the BO, all right, from everybody there. But when they win the Applebee's challenge or whatever, man, like, you know that that's going to smell real good. All right, here are your worst shows. What do you have for worst shows?
Worst shows.
Yeah.
My Feet Are Killing Me.
That's a show?
It is. It was on TLC. Where people came in with really jacked up feet. And I always used to say, the poor podiatrist, when they're taking the socks off and revealing the feet, I'm like, I can't imagine.
How do you discover these shows that you're watching? Okay, what else?
Dr. Pimple Popper.
Oh, my God. You are watching the worst shows that there are. All right. And your top worst one?
Botched.
Which one is that? That's like,
that's on E, where people are getting the reconstructive surgeries.
You watch a lot of, I mean, really, I've got a Secret Life of the Zoo. I figured that would be a good one. All right. Any crime scene investigation show, right? Because once you smell that, you're going to remember that the rest of it. And then Daryl Dixon, because they've got Zombie Set 2 or anything like that. When you see Norman Reedus, like, he looks like a nice guy. The Walking Dead is over, in my opinion, but he also does not look like he smells good.
Well, no.
School is back in session for a lot of students at this point. If not next week, it'll certainly be officially for pretty much everybody out there. Listen, I'm not saying it's okay. My grandmother used to have a saying, Ashley. She used to say, when you cheat, you only cheat yourself because you're not learning anything, and therefore you're not furthering yourself. But ever since there have been tests, ever since there have been ways to measure man or woman, since the dawn of time, there have been people that have cheated in certain ways. Ashley, we're both a few years removed from school, but what was your cheating technique?
I had two.
Okay.
So it really depended on the class. So my first one, whether I was in certain science classes or math class, I used to write out the equations in my graphic calculator.
Okay.
So that I wouldn't forget them.
Yeah.
I know you were not supposed to do that. And I also used to leave notes at the top of my backpack and leave the backpack open next to me.
Oh, I see.
So there wasn't an obvious piece of paper out, but I'd kind of look down at the backpack and see my notes. I got away with that through all of high school.
I feel like the teachers have to know that, right? Like, it's the same way, like, if a cop sees you drive by and you're looking at your cell phone. If your face is illuminated and your eyes are to the ground, somebody has to know that there's something down there that you're paying attention to, right?
Yeah, I was just the master, Raven. Yeah. I was the master.
Yeah, you were just... Okay, I see. All right. But, I mean, so would you write, like, in tiny notes? Or just you'd have the top of the notebook, like, inside the backpack exposed there? So, like, regular writing style? Because I remember having to write really small.
Depended on the subject. If I knew it well, I probably wouldn't need as many. But if it was religion class, because I went to a Catholic high school, yeah, I'd probably be writing a few notes.
Here's the thing. And when I went to high school, cargo pants were so in, right? So I had a million pockets. I didn't necessarily carry a backpack from class to class, but I would have a slip of paper that would be thin enough to be concealed by my wrist and my hand, so that I could reach into the cargo pants, pull it up right there, and I would just lay it under the hand, and I would lay my hand back down. And then when I was done, it would go right back in the pants. Just like that.
The old switcheroo.
Yeah. It's like sleight of hand. It's like being a magician, basically.
Sleight of hand, yes.
800-330-9999. Joe, I'm not saying it was right or wrong, but what was your cheating technique?
There was a couple of them, but one was... Probably people don't know it now, but you know how four speed shifts, 1, 2, 3, 4, reverses bottom right? Well, on the desk, on the leg of the chair in front of you and the leg of your desk, first gear is A or number one, second gear is B or number two, shift the gate to third gear and that's C or D, and come back and it's D, and it's E all of the above is... Cock your foot out to the right, all the way out to the right.
So you used your foot, basically, as a four-speed shifter in line with the front leg of your desk.
Front leg of your desk and the guy in front of his chair. Now, if you didn't want to do that so much, you had to have a pen that clicked. When you held the pen in your hand to the left, with the point to the left, that was A. When you flipped it to the right with the point to the right, that was B, with your fist on the desk. When you held the pen point down to the desk, that was C. When you held the pen point up, that was D. E, just put the pen on the desk and don't touch it.
I wish I knew Joe in high school because that is brilliant.
Right, and now he's an engineer for NASA, right? School is back in session. If your students aren't back at school this week, they're probably going to be there in the next week or so. I mean, basically everybody will be at this point. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. But cheating is always something that teachers, administrations have to look at. This year, it's all about AI, right? Who's using AI to write their papers? Some schools are using AI to detect whether or not AI has been used. Like, it's a whole new thing. And a lot of schools at the same time are also collecting cell phones for the first time in a number of years. But let's go back old school. How did you cheat? 1-800-330-9999. Greg.
Back in the days of flip phones, I would furiously with the T9 word input system type out A, B, C, D, all the answers, and then send it out to everyone in the class.
You know, back in the flip phone era, I could text with my eyes closed. I didn't have to see the phone. Like, I could text a sentence or two, you know, with that. And you remember that you had to go A, B, C, D, E, F. Like, you had to do all that. You couldn't do that?
Not with my eyes closed, no. No.
Yeah. Are you, like, a super fast texter now? Do you use one hand or two hands?
I use one.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm the only one left that's not using the voice to text thing.
Yes.
I don't use that.
Mm-hmm.
Very old school.
Yeah. And sometimes I see people on, like, their droids, and they, like, it's almost like they just zip the finger. It's not touching other buttons. It just drags from one to the next. I can't do that. I don't even want to live in a world where that's possible.
No, I don't either.
It's scary
to
me.
I'm not a fan of technology.
Yeah, I would like it to slow down if that's how fast it's going to go. Keisha, how'd you cheat?
So a sneeze was A. Snap of the fingers was B. Cough was C.
I mean, the fact that you can remember all these things already is crazy to me. Like, I would never be able to do that. I would have to have invented the language for me to remember that. And even still, I wouldn't trust my friends to get it right. Like, we were just not that capable.
I want to know what true or false was.
Oh, you know what? We didn't get there.
Did we tap the pencil that was true?
It was an audible clue. Right. Yeah, it was an audio clue. Rob, how'd you cheat in class?
We had a group of people doing stuff by efficiency, basically, because we're all high-achieving students, you know, AP classes, trying to go to college, mm-hmm. but also doing cheerleading, sports, school council all night. Yep. So basically everyone good at, like, reading would write the book reports and then trade them to the math kids for, you know, AP math lessons.
No kidding.
And by the end of it, teachers started saying, why is everyone's assignment the exact same with just little edits and one question messed up?
It's like, though, but if you start at the top, right, if you've got the smartest person in the highest classes writing it, it's like a Xerox copy, Ashley, a copy of a copy of a copy. It gets out of focus, right? Mm-hmm. So by the third, fourth, fifth paper, you're thinking to yourself, this is C-level work, right? Even if it's the same stuff.
Again, too many people involved.
Yeah.
Got to be a lone wolf.
Loose lips. I'm with you. Sonia, how did you cheat in class?
I actually am a smart. So I did not cheat, but other people cheated off of me frequently in school. And I remember, like, leaning off to the side and, like, pushing my paper over and then dropping notes and pushing them behind me so that the kids behind me could get the answers because he didn't know anything.
Was he cute?
Not particularly, but he was a redhead, so he was fun.
I didn't know that. Redheads regarded as fun.
I didn't see it going that direction.
Oh, redheads are way fun.
Okay. Oh. All right. Internet group.
I am a natural strawberry blonde.
All right. Well,
you've got a wild streak, don't you?
Yeah. Look for a new follower and you're listening today.
Two hosts, multiple clues, only one right answer. It's time to play Heads Up with Anna and Raven.
Hey, Tammy. Today we're playing Heads Up for a loaded backpack full of school supplies. You got any kids?
I do.
I'm sure I don't have to tell you how expensive
this stuff
is. I
have one daughter going into high school.
Oh, well, you know what? She could always use some extra stuff. I'm sure of that. This is an easy game to play. Ashley is going to give you the clues. You've got to correctly identify the items, right? Do 6 out of 10 in less than 60 seconds, and all these goodies in the backpack is yours, okay?
Awesome.
All right there, Ashley. Here we go.
All right, popular sport in the Northeast. You have to use the stick and cradle the ball and get it into the net.
Lacrosse.
There you go. Now, of course, we see the ladies and gentlemen on the sidelines at the football games, at the basketball games, at the pom-poms.
Cheerleaders.
Okay. And now you could argue this side. You could argue the other side. You're probably in this.
A debate.
There you go. Bunch of kids singing. They're singing a what?
Of course.
Maybe I made these too easy.
You will also see these at a football game or a basketball game. They are not cheerleaders, but they are playing music.
The band.
Okay.
Need one.
And you have people making cakes and cupcakes to sell as a fundraiser.
PTA.
Specific event.
Bake sale.
Oh, my gosh. Seriously, with like 1 second left. Good job. All right. Well, you've got the loaded backpack.
Awesome.
Congratulations.
Yay. Thank you.
Were you in band, Ashley? What did you do in school?
Middle school, I did briefly play the oboe. Oh. I was horrible at it. It was not my thing.
Really?
Don't feel so bad. I did the French horn.
Wow.
What's worse than the oboe might be the French horn.
Well, we're playing Heads Up again tomorrow for another chance to win a loaded backpack. Thanks, Tammy, for playing.
Thank you.
Well, big nights all this week, really, with the Democratic National Convention taking place in Chicago. Yesterday, it was Kenan Thompson, Bill Clinton, Stevie Wonder, and Bill Clinton all making an appearance there. Bill Clinton twice. Showed up twice. I'm just kidding. He says that it might actually be his last one because his hands are shaking. They said they might have to put him in a home. I don't know whether or not that's going to be the case, but there was all sorts of comedy and stuff like that. Tonight, if you're looking for it, Kamala Harris will be accepting the nomination for Democratic nominee to the presidency, and you'll expect performances from Pink and John Legend that are both supposed to be there. We go to New Jersey, where the sight of the latest crazy person that has jumped into an animal enclosure at a zoo took place here. A woman jumped into the tiger enclosure. Here's a word from one of their employees there.
It could have been really bad. There were children here, right over there, that could have seen someone lose a hand, or worse. If our animal would have bitten her, the animal may have had to be euthanized.
I mean, that's really a terrible thing, right? Isn't it, Ashley? I mean, here's the thing. You're the animal. You're at home. You're hanging out at the zoo doing your normal day type thing, and then here comes a woman that jumps over the fence, and it's your fault if you eat her.
I know. This takes me back to the Harambe days. You remember that?
Oh.
I mean, I think the desire for clout and clicks on TikTok has clearly gone a little too far.
Gohansic Zoo in Bridgeton. Right now at this time, the woman is still unidentified, but she climbed over a wooden fence to reach the tiger. There is a small inner fence, and on the video, you can see that she's like putting her hand out to almost, you know, pet the tiger, or thinking that it would walk up and, you know, like a cat kind of purr and, you know, basically rub its you know, face on her hand or whatever. When asked about it, witnesses had this to say.
Like, that's like, it's kind of stupid.
I don't know what made her do it. She must have been on something.
I mean, you know, you think to yourself, though, who wants to see that anyways?
I think every day I see somebody really testing the theory of natural selection.
Right. Right. And, you know, if one or two people had to pay the consequences, you think that maybe that would make them stop doing these things, but maybe not. There's no real guarantee.
Because there's the mentality, oh, nothing will happen to me.
Right, right. Somebody will step in before something actually takes place to me. And also going on today, it's been announced that Happy Gilmore 2, the sequel, which has been filming over the last couple months, Adam Sandler has announced that Travis Kelce will be making a cameo in it. He says that he's a funny guy. Why not have him in the movie? What's your favorite part of Happy Gilmore Part 1?
This is the bad part where I admit I've never watched Happy Gilmore.
Oh my gosh, what's terrible for you? They called me on the phone. I thought it was odd that her friend was calling me. This is when I got dumped in seventh grade. Heather called and dumped me for Melissa, and Melissa was on the other line. And I think that I only figured it out. I mean, obviously, everybody was talking about it the next day, but I'm pretty sure I heard the phone click at the end. Like, they think you hung up, but you're still on there. And they're like, oh, my God, I can't believe that happened. And then you have to go ahead and hang up, right, to save yourself the embarrassment. Nowadays, people can get dumped all sorts of ways. That's just the way that I remember. It happened over the phone. Ashley, face-to-face, FaceTime, text message, voicemail, online, social media, of course. What would be your preferred method to get dumped nowadays?
Text would be my preferred method. Because you know what? If it is a moment where it is emotional, I don't want people to see that.
Right. You
want to hide it on FaceTime.
You got to have your armor on.
I don't want the quivering voice.
Yeah.
Yes.
When's the last time you got dumped? Did text message even exist?
Yes.
Lexi, how would you prefer to be dumped?
Controversial take, I'd rather it be done over the phone. I think it's like a happy medium. I've only ever dumped somebody one time and it was over the phone, and I just think, like, you have your face, you're not worried about like someone having a meltdown, you can hang up if you want, but it's not as impersonal as texting.
I heard what Lexi said. She said, I did it the right way. It's only happened one time in my life, and clearly I am the smartest person alive, and I did it. You know, maybe you're not wrong. What do you think?
The phone, I actually think, would be fine.
Mm-hmm.
I would be okay with texting. And I know she said it seems impersonal, but maybe because I don't want anyone to see my emotion, whether it's anger or whether it's sadness. Text, I'm like, yep, just leave it the way it is.
And when you're face-to-face, too, because they're going to say something.
Right.
And no matter whatever scenario you think you're prepared for in your mind, like, you're not prepared for every one of them. They could say something totally ridiculous. They probably will. It's emotional at that time.
And then
what is your face going to look like? Right.
And you're not wearing waterproof mascara.
Yeah.
And it just really becomes messy.
Yeah. I'll hand it to you, Lexi. At least you're giving them the closure of letting them hear the voice, though. right? Because that's the thing, is a lot of times for people, it's the impersonal nature of things, right? That they're, but obviously when you're breaking up with them, you don't care. Even when you say you care, you're like, no, it's not you, it's me, or we can still be friends. All of those things are lies. Every one of those things is lies. Anna, how do you prefer to get dumped? Face-to-face, FaceTime? I mean, there's a lot of options, obviously, at your availability now. You're getting dumped. How would you prefer it go down?
I'd prefer to switch it and do the dumping, actually. But face-to-face.
Really? You still like a face-to-face one, and then you want to do the... So if somebody comes... I want to imagine. All right, Anna. I mean, I want to give you your due. All right, because you can't fire me. I'm firing you. I mean, I've seen that. But somebody comes to you and go, you know, this is just really not working out for me. And you say what immediately to take back the power?
I'm going to be like, you know what? I was thinking the same damn thing.
Yeah, I was walking over here.
It's not working out for me either.
Right, I was walking over here to tell you.
Exactly. You know what? It's not working out for me either. How about we make this mutually agreeable that it's just not working out for us?
I mean, good for her.
This is amazing to me.
If I
walked up and dumped somebody and they were like, you know what, I was on my way over here to tell you the same thing, let's just agree. I mean, the tone would say a lot, because I would in my mind I think this person's insane, like this is exactly why we're breaking up. But you're right, like an hour later, what does it matter? Let's face it, getting dumped stinks. It's not fun. It doesn't feel good. And nowadays, there's more ways to get dumped than ever. Like before, I remember being young and my mom telling me, like, if you're going to break up with somebody or you're no longer going to see them, you have to go see them to tell them. You have to tell them face to face. Even a phone call was, you know, not really acceptable then. Now, a phone call feels like it's an inquisition. Like everybody's there, right? Like, I mean, nobody makes a phone call anymore.
Yeah. That's why you got to do it via text.
So you can get dumped on text message. You can get dumped, you know, email, social media, of course, FaceTime, you know, face to face. Like all those things are options. But, you know, what is your preferred method? You're going to get dumped. It's already over. Al, 1-800-330-9999. You're going to get dumped. How do you want it to happen?
I prefer face to face. This way I can ask for my stuff and money back.
Oh.
Oh,
I mean, so you're one of those. You collect your stuff back, huh? Do you really want it back, or you just want the thrill of asking them and watching their face change?
I want the thrill of actually getting my stuff back.
Oh, you want? See, the thing is when I buy somebody a gift, there's very few items that I actually want back, Ashley, right? Like there might be a couple, a value item that you can quickly trade off or sell and get that money. But if it's just something that's going to sit around my house, I don't want to look at it. I don't want the reminder.
You want the NutriBullet back?
I don't care about the gifts. I want my hoodies.
Yeah, you want your hoodies. Okay.
He wants his own stuff back.
I want that thing that you're going to sleep with every night. I want it back.
Frank, you're going to get dumped. How would you prefer that it happens?
Quickly and respectfully. Just text me, hey, not feeling it. Just let me know. I hate when you just don't know where you stand with somebody, you know?
Is there a time limit on that, I wonder, Frank? Like, so if you were with somebody, if you're living with somebody, does that work? Like, you go to work and they, like, text you and they're like, oh, by the way, the apartment's empty. Does that still work then?
I mean, that's a little brutal.
Yeah.
But I would say, you know,
maybe
the conversations you should be having throughout your relationship, right?
Frank's saying that he's had a relationship that it would have been okay if they were gone by the time he got home from work.
It just depends how long the relationship was. I think that's what it's all about. The method is directly proportional to the length of the relationship.
Mm-hmm. All subject to change if there's a betrayal.
Oh.
Well, yeah. Okay, all bets are off if there's a betrayal. What if you did the betraying and you're getting dumped?
At that point, you just put your head down, you say sorry, you head for the door, and you hope for the best.
You accept your fate. Okay. Right. Carl, you're getting dumped. You can't stop this at this point. It's inevitable. What are you going to do? How do you prefer it to happen?
Voicemail, I think. I mean, they're all brutal, but text and email are just too short, and there's too much room for reading between the lines and getting crazy in your own head. And honestly, face-to-face or FaceTime, I was a mess the last time, so I just don't want to even be that person ever again. So, I think process of elimination, voicemail for me.
Voicemail? almost more comfortable than the live phone call, Ashley. Like, you subscribe to the live phone call with the previous caller, but, you know, if you got voicemail, like, you hear their tone of voice, you get that closure, and yet you don't have to respond.
Yeah, I forget about that. When you do it through text or email, you don't hear someone's tone.
Now, here's the other thing, though, with the voicemail. Yes. What if you hear somebody whisper in the background? Now you're running it back. You're trying to figure out, is that a guy? Is that a girl? Where is she?
I've had those moments where I'm wondering.
Is that an overhead train running in the background? Where are they? Are they at the beach? Did I hear a seagull? Right, like you're trying to figure out all these things. Where are they? Oh, my gosh.
What couple?
I don't want to keep dealing with my sister and all of the drama it's causing.
Isn't that the stupidest thing you ever heard?
One problem.
To name the baby Clifford and demand that we change our dog's name.
You decide the outcome.
Yeah, thank you. I love the audience for that.
Will be a fun story, hopefully, to us in a few years.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what they're having a disagreement about, and then you get to decide who's right. Today it's Bodie and CC. What's happening?
Well, I'm just having a disagreement because you got a promotion and you turned it down. And, I mean, you shouldn't turn down a promotion. You should challenge yourself. Like, how are you not going to tell me about it? Like, that's really ridiculous. You should challenge yourself, explore things. You're just going to turn it down and not tell me about it? I don't agree with that.
It does seem a little weird. Bodie, you got offered a promotion and you didn't tell C until you had already said no.
Yeah, that's right. I like what I'm doing. I like the pace of work. This new promotion would be a whole lot more time at work. I'd have to start all over again, learning a whole bunch of new skills. We make enough at my job right now to support the family. So why do we even need more? I mean, it just seems greedy and excessive if we're happy, wealthy enough, and healthy.
I mean, sometimes a promotion isn't always a promotion. I'm sure you can relate to that, Ashley. I know that I can in radio. That's a thing that we always used to get. But Bodie, you know what? Put a number on this for me. Like, I don't need to know the number, but percentage-wise, you know, is this a promotion that came with a significant increase? What's that increase look like, percentage-wise?
Yes, it is. It's close to 20% increase. Mm-hmm. It's big. I can't deny it. Yeah, it's big.
Yeah. Okay. 20%. That's big.
You don't see those kind of pay raises anymore.
You know what I mean? Like, obviously, you change a position within something if, you know, 20%. Listen, I get it. I understand that you know, if you're trying to control the pace at which you work on a daily basis, okay, that makes sense, right? But 20%. And, you know, listen, there's one thing that when the job comes to you and says, we want you to do this, congratulations, you've got this new title. And they give you just a little sprinkling of something on there.
Yeah.
And in fact, they want you to take on 3 more jobs. But it's something else when a job comes to you and says, we want to offer you a new position. We want you to train for this position, do this position, and we're going to offer you 20% to begin with from the get-go here. I mean, clearly they kind of see something in you.
I know. 20% will buy the good Milorganite and get the grass a lot greener.
Question really is now, I guess, what do you do now? See, do you want him to go back and say, I've reconsidered, you know, after speaking with my wife or whatever, I feel like this is a time that I could manage or a job that I can manage? Or what is it you're looking for at this point?
I feel like he should have discussed it with me. Like, we should have had a game plan.
Yeah.
You know, at least he could have talked to me about it. So we could have discussed, like, what is the problem? Like, what are you afraid of?
Yeah.
Like, that fear is robbing him. We could have maybe made some arrangements to say, okay, could you help me with something? If I need to help him with something, then maybe I could have helped with something. But to rob us of that conversation, no, he should definitely go back and have that conversation.
Okay. So he's going to go back and talk to his bosses and consider if there's some way to make this work. Bodie, is that even in the realm of possibility if the votes don't go your way?
I could see her point, so yes, I'll consider it, and I'll set a meeting.
1-800-330-9999. What do you think? Should he go back to his bosses and say, you know what? I didn't think this through. I didn't speak to my wife about it. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court. You get offered a promotion. You don't want to take it. Do you not even acknowledge it or mention it to your spouse or partner? Like, that seems like kind of a big deal, right? Like, you know, being offered a job that doesn't come with money is one thing. But when you're offered a job that comes with a 20% raise, that's exactly what happened with Bodie here. C is upset because she says, he never even brought this offer home to me. We never discussed it. He said no. I found out about it after the fact. And now she wants him to go back to the boss and say, you know what? I didn't discuss it with my spouse. This workload wouldn't be too much for me. I want to talk about this position. What do you do here, Ashley?
I mean, this is a tough one. It really is because, you know, I understand there are times where the grass isn't always greener.
It's true.
The new job may be challenging with higher pay. On the other hand, there's something to be said for the comfort. But when you're talking 20%,
yeah.
See, that's the thing. If it was 1, even 5%. Okay, 20 though?
Yeah, if I see an employee too that shies away from a challenge too, at the same time, that kind of, I put them in a box at that point in my mind, right? Like I'm categorizing that person as saying that this is somebody that is not open to furthering themselves, therefore furthering this company or whatever it may be. So comfort level being what it is, I don't know. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Hey there, Sean.
I got to be on her side. I think this guy's an idiot for not just taking the promotion. It doesn't matter if he's used to the position or not. It doesn't matter. A 20% raise is a 20% raise, and it's going to be a better position, and he's got to think about his family. He can't just wait around for another better option to come along. I don't know what he's waiting for. It's stupid.
It seems to me that sooner or later that there would be a day, Ashley, when you'd be thinking to yourself, dang, 20% would be, you know, very useful right now at this moment, right? And I get it, not wanting to work too hard at work. But on the other hand, you're there anyways, right?
Right.
Like, you're in the building anyways.
Right? 20% so, really is significant.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It's a real raise, right? Because your next raise will probably be, what, 1.5%, 3%?
Exactly.
And who knows when that'll come? No, 20% makes a difference. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court. I don't know. Maybe we're looking at this the wrong way, right? Maybe we're just jealous because we hear 20% raise and we think to ourselves that we all need it. And we all would certainly say yes if we were offered this. Bodie and C are having a disagreement here in the Couples Court because Bodie was offered a promotion with a 20% raise attached to it. Never even mentioned it to his wife, C. She says, you should have brought this offer home. We should have discussed this together as a family and talked about what it really meant for your work hours, for us, for our future, that type of thing. He just said, nope. I'm happy in my position. I'm happy at work. I don't necessarily want to do more work. We're doing fine.
I mean, I understand this. As a meteorologist, you know, I could have aimed for a higher market with more viewers and more pay, but I'm so happy where I'm living. You know, I have a great shift, great house, great friends. I wouldn't want to give that up. But at the same time, I think the discussion needs to be had.
Right. Like, I mean, if you found out, like, you have no idea what your partner would be thinking, right? And I mean, sometimes something that we see as, you know, a remote possibility for ourselves, we think, like, there's something in there that's a hindrance. You know, you said you like your house, you like your market, you know, that type of thing. You know, you don't know where that aligns with other thoughts that your husband might have, right? Like, oh, well, if you did take this job, there's also this possibility for me there or whatever, right? So, I mean, I don't know. 20% is 20%. I know that no matter what happens, that comes up in conversation again.
And it's all relative. Are we talking 20% when you're making $40,000 a year, or are you making $150,000 a year?
I don't know if it makes much of a difference at one point or the
maybe
other.
Maybe it doesn't.
Right? At what point you need more money? I don't know. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Sue, it's the Couples Court.
I'm on the husband's side, and I just don't think that because he was offered a promotion, he's obliged to take it because it's more money. I happen to be in the opposite position where I wish my husband could make less money and be home more.
Yeah.
So if it's going to take him away from his family and he's perfectly content and they don't need the money and they're paying their bills and they're saving money or whatever, if they're comfortable and they don't need it and he really doesn't want to do it, I don't feel like he should feel that he has to. And I'm assuming he didn't tell his wife because he knew she would push him into it.
Yeah.
Or at least try to.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
money's not everything.
No, that's true. It is not. And you know, there is something to be said about the grass is not always greener, right? You know, taking on responsibility also sometimes puts you more at risk, no question about it. On the other hand, you know, talking about time spent with family and investment in the future, I mean, it feels like something you maybe should do with your partner when you have a family. But thanks for the vote. Appreciate it, Sue.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Bodie, our audience agree with you. See, we can't control the rate at which somebody else wants to work, right? If you can't inspire them to change their mind about it or whatever, then, you know, the simple fact is that Bodie would, you know, start to resent you possibly at that point, right? And, you know, that's not good for your relationship. On the other hand, Bodie, you should have definitely spoken to your wife about this. 20% sounds like a lot. You've got the freedom to not go back and do anything about this, but I think maybe, you know, some apologies might be in order.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I should have at least told her.
Right. And I mean, in the future, you know, things like that that concern you both, you know, that's a big deal. See, does that make you feel any better?
It does. It does a little better. Yeah. A little better. Definitely. I definitely want to feel respected as a part, you know, as a partner in the household.
You know that the minute he complains about what something costs or whatever,
it's going to be an I told you so.
Yes. Good luck, guys. If anybody else has got an issue, you can always email us, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Can't beat Raven cash jackpot is $900, brought to you by Sherwin-Williams. Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off Duration products and SuperDeck stains from August 23rd through the 26th. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Hey, James, how you doing? It's producer John.
I'm good, and yourself?
I'm doing well, man. I like that name. That's my son's name. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
You got it. Good luck, James.
All right, James. He's walking out of here. When that door closes, he can't hear us. It's a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. Get more right than Raven, you win. He gets more right, that jackpot goes up by another $100. Ties go to Raven. You ready to start?
Yes.
All right. Question number 1. Alec Baldwin's getting a reality show that will air in 2025, but crew members are already saying that it's a complete disaster. Alec Baldwin is one of how many brothers?
2.
All right, question number 2. Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez are officially divorced. The two starred in 2 movies together. Name just one of those 2 films.
The Wedding Planner.
All right, question number 3. Kelly Clarkson claims to have a romantic crush on Kevin Costner, and he hopes he'll take the hint and ask her out. Clarkson won the first season of what singing competition that launched her career?
American Idol.
Question number 4. Despite all the scandals, Justin Timberlake's wife has said that she refuses to leave the singer and she will stand by his side. Who is Justin Timberlake's wife?
Oh,
James. James, buddy. James, it's okay. It's all right. Question number 5. Steve Martin said he would never host the Oscars again, mostly because they don't pay. Martin played the role of Inspector Clouseau in what films?
Oh,
that's time, bud. That's all right. Let's bring Raven back in real quick.
Yo.
All right, man. So only 1 for James, unfortunately.
Not great, James. Let's see how I do. Maybe they're really, really hard.
All right. Question number 1. Alec Baldwin's getting a reality show that's going to air in 2025. But crew members are already saying it's a disaster. Big surprise. Apparently, yeah. He thinks it's like supposed to be a big movie film, and he doesn't realize it's cheap reality TV.
Okay.
Alec Baldwin is one of how many brothers?
There's 4 of them.
Yeah. All right, that's correct. Question number 2. Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez are officially divorced. They starred in 2 movies together. Name one of those 2 movies.
Giggly. You know what I mean.
I do.
G-I something.
But please keep trying because that's amazing.
Nope.
Question number 3. Kelly Clarkson claims to have a romantic crush on Kevin Costner and hopes that he'll take the hint and ask her out.
Oh, he will.
Clarkson won.
I mean, I would if I was him.
I was going to say, yeah, I mean, you would if it was Kevin Costner asking you that. Let's be real.
Yes, I would.
All right. She won the first season of what singing competition?
American Idol. Come on.
All right. Question number 3. Despite all the scandals, Justin Timberlake's wife has said she refuses to leave the singer and will stand by his side. Who is Justin Timberlake's wife?
Jessica Biel.
Yes, indeed.
I hear if she walks, she gets like a $20 million payout, though.
That's actually pretty nice. Question number 5. Steve Martin said he would never host the Oscars again because they don't pay. Martin played the role of Inspector Clouseau in what films?
Pink Panther.
That's right. All right, James. He beat you 5-1 today. That gets you a free T-shirt.
It's James. I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, buddy. $1,000 tomorrow, John.